I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Where was the pain, Jameis?
Yeah, just pain. It was pain everywhere. So we got to keep on pushing through and being resilient.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Nothing Catchy Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Dewey, and with me, I've got Jake Prosser today. So, yeah, week one is done. That was exciting. How did it go for you, Jake?
Yeah, that was definitely exciting is one way to put it. We had some high scores, a couple very high scores, and my team was in the running. For that's how I was feeling. That audio clip you just played with that. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded. leaving 20 points from Judy. Waddle had 16 and Kareem Hunt had 21. So I could have won probably had I started the right guys, but
isn't that the truth, man? The problem for my team is I didn't have much wiggle on my bench. My entire team fell flat on its face. So made me kind of feel like my drafting skills and my thought process was pretty retarded as well. So, it did not go so well, which we'll get into a little bit later.
Sure.
I'm going to have to eat some crow with my power rankings, and I'm sure Doug's going to be happy about that.
Doug's going to be having a good time with that. He was playing for pride this week. You know, he saw your initial power rankings, and he was clearly, you know, you gave him some good locker room bulletin board material there.
I probably did. He probably put my podcast up on his wall, and every day when he went to work, he just looked at it and glared and said, "You know what? Not today. Not today." And I'll give him credit. It was not my day.
What Doug actually told me is that he actually called personally. You know, he had to pull a couple strings, but he got a hold of every player on his team. Justin Herbert, called him up. Saquon, called him up. Nick Chubb, told him, "Hey, we're being greatly disrespected this week."
He probably showed my podcast, actually. I mean, really, heard my voice, my beautiful voice, trash talking him. Oh man,
that's funny, man. That's funny. How's your week been going, though? I guess it's only Monday, but you know,
it is only Monday or Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, isn't it? Yeah, man, my week's Tuesday. All scatterbrained. Oh my goodness.
But it's been pretty good. I was gonna ask you. What was your biggest surprise win loss for this last weekend for football games? Like, what, you know, non fantasy football related, what was your biggest surprise for either win or loss?
Well, as a Chiefs fan, you know, I'm always attuned to the AFC West.
That is true.
And well, there's a couple that stick out to me, and they very well might be the same as you, but I got a great kick out of seeing the Denver Broncos just completely botch that game. That was hilarious, seeing them fumble twice at the goal line and then seeing that just awful time management at the end of the game there.
What were they
on fourth
doing?
And five, kicking a 64-yard field goal. Hilarious. I was cracking up laughing so hard.
I don't know why you pay someone as much as you paid Russell Wilson to not go for it for the win closer. It's 5 yards. I mean, I think with a quarterback of that caliber, you should be able to get 5 yards and pretty much guarantee that kick. And I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about that kick specifically, and you're thinking, okay, you know what? Maybe what they were thinking, that kicker is so good at 50-plus yard field goals that they had a good chance of it. You know, maybe they're 7 out of 10 in their career, and this is just the best choice. No, that kicker is 0 for, like, 8.
Yeah, McManus.
He's not good.
I think I heard that them say he actually statistically like 1 for 8 on 60-plus yarders? Is that the correct stat? Something like that.
It may be closer to that, but it wasn't definitely in his favor, you know, to be like, hey, let's go for it.
You forget, Mike, this was in Denver where the air is it travels better.
I think it was actually in Seattle. So
it was. I'm trolling you. I'm trolling you. I'm making even more fun of the Broncos, man. It's so funny.
The Broncos, I'm not scared of them anymore. I actually genuinely thought they were going to be maybe second in the league. Not anymore. Nope. It's down to the Chargers and Chiefs for sure. For sure.
Yeah. I 100% agree. But outside of the AFC West, because I'm always going to laugh at all of our rivals when they lose. That Cincinnati game, man. Joe Burrow. Five turnovers? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yikes.
One fumble, yikes. 4 interceptions, I believe.
Man, I didn't see that coming. You know, I'm not fully sold on Joe Burrow yet. I think he's a good quarterback, but he's got a lot to prove in my book. But I wasn't expecting five turnovers. You know, I was not expecting five turnovers.
Didn't he have a spleen thing where he was like this offseason, so he missed most of the preseason?
I'm not sure. I might have missed that.
I think he did. So I'll give him a little bit of like maybe this was his pregame, you know, his preseason benefit type of the doubt. Game.
Sure.
But yeah, that one was pretty surprising. I think for me, the most surprising thing was the AFC South. In the AFC South,
oh, 0-4. Right?
Yeah, every single nobody won in that whole division, which
and two teams played each other, yes, and then no one won.
Exactly. I was like, you may think, hey, it's okay, you know, that happens. Not when they play each other. That doesn't happen. And yeah, the entire division lost. So nobody wants to win in that division. Obviously, no one wants to go to the Super Bowl. That is just a dumpster fire over there. I honestly thought Matt Ryan was going to do better. Than he did. I thought that was going to be a pretty easy win for them personally.
But, yeah. What were Henry's stats like? I'm thinking of the Titans. What were Matt Ryan's stats like up there in Indy?
Let me see if I can pull it up here real quick. Actually.
Okay. I'm trying to think. Did he go
to quarterbacks, and then actually I'll bring it up.
I mean, I know Matt Ryan can air it out. But. Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't seen his final stat line.
His stat line was okay. I mean, it's 236, two touchdowns and an interception. So
okay, so pretty average. I mean, slightly above average.
Yeah.
Quarterbacking day. That stat line to me is just a totally average stat line for a quarterback.
Yeah, nothing special, no. Nothing crazy. But I feel like he could have or should have won that game based upon
Agreed.
That stat line. But yeah.
Yeah. What was the final? What the final end up being in that one?
The final on that one, let me go back.
Oh, that was the tie, right?
I believe 2020? That was the tie, yeah. Yep,
the tie, that was 2020, yeah.
20 for Houston. They were going up against Houston, so.
What were your, real quick, before we move on, I do want to ask you, what were your thoughts on that Pittsburgh? Since I know you just briefly glanced over it, but what were your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, man, the amount of kicks that were, all weekend, the amount of kicks that were missed was painful in general. But I got to say, I think the Steelers defense is legitimate. I think they are good. And that's what carried them primarily. They're always going to have a strong defense. Their offense wasn't too bad. I was relatively surprised with Teddy Bridgewater. Or not Teddy Bridgewater.
Trubisky?
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky. I don't think Mitch Trubisky is a good quarterback, personally. I think he's on the level of like Geno Smith, personally. Like, I don't think... And I don't think Geno Smith is a good quarterback either. All this hype about him doing well and he's like really great and everything and better than Russell Wilson. I don't buy it. It was one game. But that was pretty surprising as well that they actually were able to ride with him and he brought him back pretty well. There was a fantastic one-handed catch by, was it Deion Johnson or something like that? What's his name? It was pretty much a... one-handed behind the head kind of catch, just like Odell Beckham Jr. back in the day. It was near the end of the game.
I missed that one. I think I turned it off. I got busy right after the missed the missed extra point that would have won it.
Crazy.
Moving
on through this week. I was going to say that I should probably start out by eating some crow with this power ranking. So just as a refresher, with the week one power rankings for everybody, I had number one, Hertz Donut, number two, Team Fitzgerald, number three, Gritty Gritty Bang Bang, four, Vladdy Daddy, five, Read 'em and Weep, six, Team Mess, seven, Chilling with Mahomies, and eight, Reed's Natty Boys Club. And
I think the joke there is supposed to be Reed's Naughty Boys.
Oh,
but yeah,
Reed's
you're
Naughty
right.
Boy. Okay. Thank you. Reed's Naughty Boys Club. And, I mean, maybe I put him as last because I was going up against him and boy, howdy, did I learn that that was not the right choice. Pretty much he stomped me completely. There was no chance of me winning that. There's not even a chance. So
he dropped a 150 burger on you. 150.
Yeah, 150.
Unless you were Elijah, you would have, you know, then you would have had a chance. But yeah.
Yeah. So what I did, I shuffled them up. You know, I went back through, looked at the scores, looked at the rosters, and I realized the errors in my ways. And I'm going to give everybody the props that they deserve. So do you think I should start with the last or first for this week's power rankings?
We'll count them up. Count them up.
Okay. So starting at the bottom, you know, because for the record, I'm playing Jake in this week. So number 8 is Chilling with My Homies. You know, fellow dumb and dumber here, both of us having a terrible, terrible week. I figure, you know what? I'm going to bless you, sir, by giving you that 8th spot with the hope that you'll just drop a 150 burger on me as well this week.
All right.
So I'm setting you up, putting you at an 8th so that you can actually do that. See, really what it is I'm being selfless here by putting you in 8th.
So you
can do that. But yeah, that's number 8. We're going with Chilling with My Homies. Then number 7, Team Fitzgerald. And I'm going to be honest, the reason I didn't put Team Fitzgerald at number 8 was because, you know, I played Jake. But really, Team Fitzgerald, I'm going to call you out here. You should have been number 8. And the reason why is George Kittle was on your active roster, and you should have bumped him to the bench. There was plenty of time for you to know that he was out. I mean, I had him in some random league that I joined, and I was able to move him out in time. So, Fitzgerald, putting you on blast. Come on.
Set that lineup, my guy.
Set that lineup. Just to put somebody there. For the record, in my other league where I had him, I put what's his name? The Bears tight end. Clement or something like that. I put him in because there was a lot of hype around him. He put up a 0 burger too. But at least he was active. So, anyways, moving up to number 6, we're going with Vladdy Daddy. Number 5 is Read 'em and Weep. Number 4, Team Mess. Team 3, Hertz Donut. Number 2, Reed's Naughty Boys. And then number 1, Gritty Gritty Bang Bang. And Reed's Naughty Boys, Doug, my bitterness is why I put you at number 2. You know, really, I should put you at number 1. Because you did great, and you have a fantastic team. You have amazing depth. You have so much depth that your team, your bench team, could have beat my team by itself. You had two great teams.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, I just said his bench team had such good points. His bench could have beat my active team. So I should have put him at number 1, but my bitterness is just you could be number 2. We'll see about next week.
I don't know. I'm trying to pull up Gritty Gritty Bang Bang here. I mean, that's lies. He put up 160. I think that he's deserving of that one spot right now. If Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs keep balling like they were week 1, I can't believe he has both of those guys, Jefferson and Diggs. He's got some studs at wideout, man. And in this point, half a point PPR, so high volume guys, it seems at this point. We'll see how the season trends and how their stats trend. But right now, he's already expected, projected to get 30 plus from those two guys again. We'll see.
Yeah. He's getting 30 from his two starting running backs and 30 plus from his wide receivers. And then his flex is just a cool almost 11 points. So, yeah, he's going to be pretty hard. The only thing that can stop him is if there's some injuries that happen. Now, we don't want to obviously wish injuries on any players, but that may be what's the only thing that's going to be able to stop him and Naughty. But yeah, I just look at their teams and I think, man, I'm jealous. But a good reminder, and Doug mentioned it in the chat as well, week 1 does not make your entire season. So if you had a bad week, don't give up. Keep trying. Find those waiver wire gems. Find the players that start making trades. If you're at the bottom and you have nothing to lose, go after that player that you want and combine some interesting trades, whatever you got to do. And actually, Jake, do you have any tips for people for trades? Do you have any? I noticed that there really haven't been any trades yet. Now, granted, it's only 1 week, but have you had any trade requests or nobody's come after any of my players?
No, I haven't had any trade requests yet. The more I look at my lineup or in my entire team as a whole, by the way, Elijah Mitchell is out, which really stinks, but he's on IR now, but I'll have to keep, you know, I'll keep updated on his injury, how he recovers. But the more I look at my lineup, look at my team, I'm like, man, I look at my bench and I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. They're all projected to get around 10 points. But then it becomes a game of coin flips of who am I going to start? Who am I going to sit? And then half the time my bench is going to go off and I'm going to mess up, you know, like last week I started MVS, Chiefs wideout. And he ended up being the least touched guy. You know, he was literally like, I think had the, of all the starters, he had the least amount of touches. He only had, I think, 6 points or something like that.
No.
6.6. Oh, let's see. Yeah, 6.1 points. But I'm sorry, I'm getting off topic here. You asked me a question. As far as trades go, I haven't had any trade requests. Tips, you know, for waiver wires, and is just watch trends, see how guys are going. If you can, if you think there's a favorable matchup with someone on the waivers, try to snag them. My approach with trades is always throwing in a guy who, if I'm deep at any one position. So I look at my bench right now. I've got 1, 2, 3, 5 wideouts on my bench. So I could put together some sort of package deal, and include 2 wideouts. And if I'm trying to upgrade at a running back position, you know, try to get the reach there, swing and get a better running back for more depth for someone else. I don't know. I might be saying cliches. Everyone probably knows this at this point. But
is there a
how about position? You, man? Do you have any specific strategies or tips that come to mind?
Well, I was going to ask you real quick. Is there any positions that you hold higher value than others? Do you think, based upon how our league is set up, do you hold QBs in a higher regard, running backs, wide receivers? And with that being said, you know, if it, you say you hold run backs higher, do you kind of see it as like one wide receiver and a tight end equals a running back in a trade kind of thing?
Right. Right. So for the first 5 years I did fantasy, it was always standard scoring. So it wasn't PPR.
Mm.
So obviously I'm putting value on running backs, right? I'm looking for the high volume running backs who's getting the most touches. And those are always, you know, my number one pick, first round. Everyone's taking a running back in that time. This was when like LeSean McCoy and Adrian McCoy. Peterson and all those guys were the top picks. That's right. Those were the top picks. Even when you put half a point on reception, it really makes the game, the playing field a lot more level as far as positional value.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough. In this kind of half point PPR league, personally, I look at them as being very well balanced as far as value. Maybe you have a different approach. I know that when we were drafting, you were wanting to, even at that, put value on running backs, which I guess is fair because goal line touches, right? So,
yeah, my big reason why I drafted so heavily running backs, maybe it's the wrong strategy because obviously what has happened has happened. But
we're both 0-1. So.
Yeah, I'm 0-1, so take advice from me. is that I figure there's a high, you know, there's less top skill running backs as there are wide receivers. I feel like if a wide receiver goes down, you can usually get somebody who is serviceable to replace them because there's so many out there and there's always going to be targets out there. But say, you know, using Adrian Peterson back in the day, when he went down, his backup didn't produce the same level that he did. You know, so there is a certain value to a high-end running back. So I feel like if you hit right on your running backs, you can usually shuffle your wide receivers or trade out some other wide receivers and stuff to get better wide receivers later. But I don't know. We'll see. I do think that I need to start packaging some people together, though, to get some better wide receivers because I really only have one good one.
Hit me up if you take a look at my my wideouts. If there's anyone you like, shoot me an offer, man.
Yeah, that may have to happen. I might spend some time after this, and we'll kind of go over that. So I want to go over two more things real quick before we wrap it up. So, you know, so we're not having too long of a podcast here, but yep. I want to talk about injuries that happened and just kind of. Go over those a little bit. Ask your opinion on who you think might be the next person up, if there is one. What you think you should do with that player, hold on to him, drop him, what you would, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, probably the two biggest names that I think are going to affect our league specifically, is going to be T. Higgins and Keenan Allen. T. Higgins was a concussion and Keenan Allen was a hamstring. Neither one of them look like they're going to be long-term injuries. But do you think that there's somebody that you should still hold on to? Do you think that you should be trying to trade them? And if they don't play this weekend, who do you think that would be taking their targets?
Oh, man, Keenan Allen, no chance. No chance in heck. Am I dropping him? Or, you know, he's going on my IR. Who actually has him? Who has him right now? Looks like Jared has him. Jay Money.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. He's going on. He's going on the IR spot, and I'm holding on to him because he's a baller. When he's healthy, he's a top 10 wideout. You say that's fair to say?
Yeah, I would say
top 15,
so too.
Maybe top 10, top 15. At absolute worst, somewhere in that zone. I mean, that dude can ball. Not getting rid of him. T. Higgins, a little more maneuverability. Do you know how long these guys are out? Do you know the severity?
I don't have the severity on either one of them. Concussion, mm-hmm. I would probably say probably at least
Higgins
1 week.
As a concussion?
Yeah, T. Higgins is out for, I think, for at least 1 week. Because usually, yeah, concussion, they want to keep him out for a little bit. The hamstring, I haven't seen any reports to know how bad of it was. But since it's a short week, I think he might be out this week.
Yeah. And so those are two wideouts that are out this week, most likely. I mean, dude, I'm hyped for Thursday Night Football, by the way. Side note.
Me too. Me too.
It's going to be so good, man. I cannot wait.
This week cannot end fast enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see I want to take a gander. Okay, there we go. Players. What do we got right now? Wideouts available.
So
Curtis Samuel. Hey, how about Carson Wentz with the Commanders, eh?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, if you had to drop Keenan Allen or T. Higgins, say you're in a real pinch, you know, I don't think anybody's in a super pinch right now, but would you drop T. Higgins for Curtis Samuel, Julio Jones, Mecole Hartman, Russell Gage, or Jarvis Landry?
I just saw that Julio, you said that name right as I was looking at him. I'm kind of shocked that he's available. He put up, he had 5 targets, 70 yards almost.
Yeah.
He had 10 points. I mean, hey, that's good for if you're just trying to plug someone in. Plus, I think Julio, as the season goes on, is going to get better. I think him and Brady are going to continue to build that chemistry. Mm-hmm. I think Brady is almost like on a mission to get the most out of Julio. Because I read this on Twitter, so cannot confirm this report, but that Brady was pulling pretty hard for him to join down there.
Interesting.
And wanted to kind of help him revive his career. So I think Brady's going to keep him a high volume target. He's going to try to get Julio, back to that baller top 5 wideout status. I mean, Julio was probably the best wideout in the league for a number of years there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. And just so everybody knows who's listening, I have a list of waiver wire targets that we can kind of go over, kind of a little cheat sheet that Jake and I can talk about. And the list that I'm pulling is from our league. So, you know, whenever I listen to fantasy footballs, podcasts or whatever, it sometimes is hard knowing, like, when they talk about players and it's like, oh, well, they're all taken. Like, it doesn't help anything. The people that we'll talk about are available currently on the wire based upon the time we're recording, which is the night of waiver wires before they clear. So if you listen to this before you go to bed and submit something, that's awesome. But odds are good. Waivers will clear and some of these people may not be up there anymore. But, yeah, while we're talking about it, they are. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, that kind of makes sense because, I mean, T. Higgins was a big one, Keenan Allen, and then Chris Godwin was another wide receiver that was injured from the Bucs. So I actually am with you. I think Julio Jones right now is the top wide receiver target. If I was mm-hmm. in need of a wide receiver, which I might be, he's one I would be putting a waiver claim in probably because I think his quarterback is good. I would prefer his quarterback versus the Commanders. Mecole Hartman, like you said, is the predictability not there with the Chiefs. He could, mm-hmm. but I think really Travis Kelce is the only one who's going to be reliable on every week basis. And Mahomes, I think Mahomes will be reliable. Russell Gage as well, maybe, but it's another Bucks wide receiver. I think I'd prefer Julio over Russell. And then Jarvis Landry, super talented, but I just don't think, do you trust Jameis Winston?
Ha. Huh. Does that answer your question?
That's kind of my thought too, is like, I want to see another week. I don't know if I trust him completely. It was 1 week, but Jarvis Landry put up a lot of points last week.
Yeah.
I think it was in the 15 range. And so well worth the look if he's going to be consistent. Actually, just kidding. Wait, was I Jarvis Landry? Hold on. That's week 2 projections. Just kidding. I was like, what? Was that rough? No, yeah, he had 14.9 points. He had 7 receptions. 114 yards, and then he also and 9 targets. So he was catching a lot and included a lot. So I don't know. He might be worth grabbing as well. What was Julio Jones's targets? How many? Like, I know he had the one big catch.
Five targets, 3 receptions, 69 okay. yards. Nice.
Yeah, that's not bad either. Yeah. I think either one of those are going to be good for you. Let's jump to running back, because actually that's going to be very valuable to you. There's really only one major running back injury that kind of popped up, which is Elijah Mitchell, who you had before. He has an MCL sprain, and he's supposed to be out for about 8 weeks. So he's pretty much gone for most of the season, which means I think Jeff Wilson Jr. is going to be the next up. And I think that potentially, I know I just went off on saying that most running backs can't keep producing outside of if they're different, whatnot. But the 49ers are different. They scheme runs that I think Jeff Wilson could easily step in and do the same thing that Elijah Mitchell did. I don't think you'll miss much of a beat, honestly, with him. But the question is, do you want another 49er running back, or Daryl Henderson with the Rams, Melvin Gordon, Jeff Wilson, we talked about him, Jamal Williams with Detroit, or Dontrell Hilliard with the Commanders? What's crazy about that, so if when you're on our league and you go to the available free agents, you can click like the points from last week, and the top person was Dontrell Hilliard, Tennessee. He had 20.4 points, and he was on the waiver wire. And the biggest reason why is he had 3 receptions for 61 yards and 2 touchdowns. He is a receiving back. I don't know if that's repeatable every week. But what do you think? Who would you pick up?
I'm a bit surprised that Darrell Henderson is available right now. Is he the Rams starting running back?
Yeah, because Cam Akers, everybody hyped up that Cam Akers was going to be the starting running back. And he's coming off of an Achilles injury. And they didn't use him at all. Like, he was just pretty much a healthy scratch on the sideline the whole game. And Daryl Henderson got all the carries, all the touches, and he ended up pulling off only 9 points, 9.8 points, but it was against Buffalo. And he also had 5 receptions too. So like, he was doing the carries, 13 carries and receptions of 5. So he was all around used.
May not have just put in a waiver wire acquisition claim for him.
Right.
I'm surprised he's out there. Gurley, what? Now that I'm thinking about it, what the heck ever happened to Todd Gurley?
Todd Gurley, what happened to him? I think he's for Atlanta. I think he went to Atlanta for a while, but
and now he's just out of the league because he was a baller for like, was it 2 or 3 seasons with the Rams?
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna have to look that up. You talk for a second while I look up Todd Gurley on the Googles.
I got it right here. He's a free agent. Yeah, 28 years old. I guess. Yeah, Falcons for 1 year. Has it really been since 2019? Well, okay, the 2019 season. He hasn't played in that long. My goodness, dude. It's crazy how these players all kind of start to blur together over the years. But anyways, I digress. Sorry, he's irrelevant.
Irrelevant for this year, I guess. So,
yeah, a guy who hasn't played in 3 seasons I'm talking about over here.
Go ahead and put a waiver claim in for him. I encourage it, especially this weekend.
Real quick, yeah. If I may. I wanted to ask you about Mecole. What are your thoughts on Mecole after this last week?
Yeah. So I do agree that it's going to be hard to predict with a wide receiver every week. He had a total of 3 receptions and 6 targets. So he was targeted a few times. And I watched the game, the highlights afterwards, and there was quite a few times that Patrick Mahomes just barely overthrew him. That if he would have caught it, it would have been a big gain and a touchdown. So like, they're not quite connecting. So what's hard is since we have an 8-team league and the bench size that we have, I would not pick him up yet personally because there's a decent amount of other players on the bench that I think are just as good or a little bit better. and potentially more consistent. But if we were in a 12-team league, he would have to be rostered and on the bench, because once they start connecting, I do think he'll be good. Side note, I do think he also has a mental issue, though, where he can get in his head, where if drops a few passes, he doesn't really come out of it very much. Because I don't know if you've seen on the sidelines a lot of the players have to come and like really help him. He's really like beats himself up a ton when he starts to drop or fumble a lot. So that also kind of worries me, just because I don't want to get somebody who all of a sudden he gets the trust and all the targets and then is obsolete for a game because he's in his own head. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm probably not going to pick him up yet for a little while.
No, I 100% agree with everything you just said there. I thought it was weird on one of the plays. It looked like he almost stopped running his max speed on the route. Like he almost,
yeah,
like it looked like he could have dove for it and caught it. And then it was also concerning because Mecole, like you said, he gets in his head. He kind of, I don't know. Yeah. He's got some mental block at times. Cause he got on Twitter. He immediately hopped on Twitter after the game, seeked out the negativity about himself and quote tweeted one of them. Someone saying, yeah, Mecole should have laid out for that catch. It seems like he's not trying his hardest at times. And he quote tweeted it saying like, you sound stupid right now. And everyone agreeing with you sounds really stupid too. And then it was up for a couple minutes and he deleted it. So it's like, I don't know. I agree that it seems like Mecole really kind of gets in his own way sometimes, because he's talented and he's fast when he is just balling, but man, he has a hard time getting there at times. So yeah, I definitely wouldn't put a claim in for him yet either. I would let that one play out a little more.
Yeah. I think they're probably going to start using Isaiah Pacheco a little bit more in that kind of scat roll type of a thing. And so he probably will stay about that target. And I think 9 points is kind of his upside right now, or his, you know, not much higher than that. His floor is really low though.
So the Chiefs aren't going to extend him?
No. I don't think so. I would put money that they wouldn't. I think they would keep Juju and MVS over extending Mecole, and they'll draft another wide receiver. But that will be for the offseason when we talk offseason stuff later. That will be podcast. So if anybody is out there needing QBs, though, we do have one major QB-ish error, but I think we looked at it and that Dak's on the bench of somebody else, so it's really not a big deal. But he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. They're not putting him on IR, so he may be back sooner. The thing I want to talk about, though, specifically with Dak's injury, is who it affects. Do you think CeeDee Lamb and Schultz, the tight end, are going to be valuable anymore?
Oh, because they don't have Dak throwing him the ball?
Correct. Dak loved throwing the ball to
Schultz. Who is their backup? I watched the game a bit, and I can't remember who finished that game for Cowboys.
I'm not entirely sure. Let me look that up real quick while you give us some thoughts.
Cowboys. Well, okay, so my thoughts on that question are, it depends.
It depends. Cooper Rush is the guy's name.
Oh, is he not a rookie, is he?
He status is active 5th season, so he's been in the league for a while. It looks like, I'm trying to see if he was with anybody else besides them. I don't think he is. I think he's been pretty much just with the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, Dak didn't look good as is, which immediately is putting there could be an upside here. Did you say Zeke as well? Were you asking me about Zeke?
I wasn't asking about Zeke. I think Zeke will be fine. I think CeeDee Lamb, who receives mainly the targets, and then Schultz, the tight end, who has been normally pretty good, I think they're the ones that are going to struggle the most. But I was curious how much you think they're going to struggle.
Oh, yeah. If I have either of those guys, I'm benching them for now, unless I have no other options. So, I mean, CeeDee Lamb for sure. If you can't get a better tight end is a lot harder. That position's harder to fill.
Yeah.
So if you got to play him, you know, I'd keep the tight end going.
So
what's the tight? I'm sorry. I'm blanking on the tight end's name.
I thought it was M Schultz, but I'm incorrect. It's Dalton Schultz. is his name.
Dalton Schultz. Okay, Dalton Schultz.
And I have him on my team, so I should have known that.
Dude, if I'm you, unless I can get someone better, but tight end is so hit or miss.
So let's go into tight end real quick for waiver wire, because I actually have somebody that I'm going to put a waiver claim in for that I realize is on the waiver and I think is one of those hidden gems that could be a secret weapon for me. Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill is considered...
Always listed as a tight end.
He's considered a tight end.
Dude.
But if an injury happens to Jameis Winston or they have any trick plays, all of a sudden you have a QB in your tight end spot. And
oh my gosh.
So I'm going to go ahead and toss the waiver claim in for him instead of Schultz.
That's a great move.
But but on the flip side, though, I guess the coach that was all about Taysom Hill being QB is not there anymore. But so maybe that won't happen. But I'm hopeful. And he actually did really well, too, looking at his stat line.
15 points last week, dude.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Exactly. So my thought is like, hey, you know, he might be pretty good. He had, what was his total stat here? He had one reception for 2 yards.
He had a pitch, or it was like a quarterback snap to just run. Like it was just a designed quarterback run play.
Yeah, and
he got like 60 yards on it or something. So that's where the majority of his points came from.
Ah, shoot. Well, I don't like those numbers now that I look at it though. Because it's like his floor is like zero then.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, but tight ends are it's sparse anyway. We'll try it out. It will have to be a thing. So the other tight ends though that are out there is OJ Howard. He also did pretty good. Who's he with? I forget who he's with. These Houston Texans. He got 16 points. So, you know, that's a good sign, but again, it's another one of those situations where he got 2 touchdowns. So I don't know if that's consistent and repeatable, but he caught every target that he got. So he was targeted twice, touchdown twice. So, yeah, he's another kind of boom-bust kind of player. Another one, Gerald Everett. And then my last one that I actually think might be a sneaky add is Jody Fortson. Because I do think they're going to use Jody Fortson with KC quite a bit.
Agreed.
And he also is going to be a low probability one, but I mean, he got 1 reception, 1 target, and it was a touchdown this last week. So if all you're doing is seeking the touchdowns in the tight end position, I think Jody Fortson, OJ Howard, and Taysom Hill, you couldn't do much better than those. You're not going to get big yardage on them, but they'll keep up, I think, with the overall points of tight end, minus Travis Kelce, of course. Yeah, highly recommend any of those, honestly. But I think I'm the only one in need of a tight end situation. I think everybody else is still pretty good with theirs. So, And then QB. Let's go over QBs. One last little spot here. What's your thoughts on Derek Carr versus Arizona? Do you think he's going to actually be able to replicate what Mahomes did?
You'll have to forgive me if you hear any background audio coming through. I live in a apartment attached to a dorm, and some kid set off the fire alarm, so it's blaring right now.
Do you need to go?
It's totally fine. I'm totally fine. I don't have to go.
Okay.
Is it coming through? I have noise suppression on. Is the sound coming through?
I can hear it a little bit. It's pretty faint, though. It's not a big deal.
Okay. Yeah. It should turn off pretty soon. So your question was Derek Carr versus Arizona?
Yeah. Like, do you think Mahomes was able to get 5 touchdowns because of Arizona's terrible defense, and thus Derek Carr could potentially get 3 next week? Or what do you think?
Yeah, that's a great question. A little bit of both. Mahomes is going to Mahomes, so he's going to put up numbers regardless of the defense. I think Derek Carr is going to have a good game, though. He's probably going to throw 3 tubs. I mean, if I had Carr this week, or if I was looking for a QB, in fact, is Carr rostered? Is that why you're asking this?
Yeah, he's not rostered right now.
Okay, he's unrostered. Yeah, I would totally look at Carr this week. I think he's going to get some. He's going to probably have at least 20-point game this week. I would put money on that. I feel like they're going to play well. Arizona's very hurt by injuries right now, and yeah, I don't feel like their defense is very good. So, I think Carr and Adams could have a big day.
Yeah.
So I would feel very comfortable. I'd feel very comfortable starting Carr this week if I needed a quarterback.
Yeah, I would agree. I think of the four top ones that I wrote down, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, and Carson Wentz, I would actually play Derek Carr over all of them, personally. I think he has the best upside of it. The next one is Kirk Cousins, and then I'd probably play Matt Ryan, and then Carson Wentz. Those are the that'd be the order. If you're needing a QB, I would do that. I'm going to actually try to ride one more year or one more day weekend with my guy. Oh, shoot. What is his name? I should know his name off the top of my head. Trey. But if he doesn't do well this week, then I'm pretty much dumping him. He's out of my heart forever.
Trey Lance?
Yeah, Trey Lance. So yeah. I'm chalking it up to the bad weather. That's why he did bad.
For sure it was a factor. Yeah, 100%.
But I don't know. If he doesn't do much better, then I'm going to have to try to find a waiver wire guy and go with it and try to ride into the sunset. Pretty much stream everybody who plays Arizona, maybe.
Yeah, legit. We'll see how that matchup goes this week. Do you want to real quick talk about our predictions for this week two coming up here?
Get out of here. Yeah, let's do that. Let me bring up the scoreboard here real quick on my phone. Yeah. I'll let you go ahead and start then.
Cool. Okay, so we're gonna have two undefeated teams remaining after this week because, ironically, just the way that the matchups are, we got all the 0-1s. Both. So you and me are playing each other. We're both 0-1, and Vlad and Fitzgerald are playing each other. Also both 0-1. So at the end of this week, we're gonna have 2-2-0s and 2-0-2s. So some pretty dire situations. Our first matchup that we can look at here is you and me. We're both 0-1. So this is kind of a big game for us.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm going to actually, I'm going to look at the players real quick here again. So Patrick Mahomes against the Chargers. I don't think he's going to put up 5 touchdowns. Trey Lance against
6 touchdowns.
odds are good. I actually think you have a hard matchups here because Eckler against KC's defensive line is not going to be as good.
I don't know, man. I wasn't super impressed by our run defense on granted. I mean, I know they didn't score a lot, but man, Frank Clark in particular, I was focused on him on a lot of those runs. So I was like, man, he's not looking good in the run defense, but we'll see. You could be right. We'll see. It'll be fun to see.
I'm going to take the risk here. I'm going to say me. I think I'm going to win, Jake, taking you on.
We'll see. I might mix my, I'm not confirmed. I haven't confirmed my lineup yet. I got a couple waiver wire, you know, I got things in the pipeline, so we'll see. You got Fournette playing New Orleans. New Orleans is their kryptonite. You know, they can't beat him in the regular season. He's probably going to have not even a touchdown if I had to put money on it. Dalvin Cook playing in Philly. Okay, he's probably going to put up some good points, but Trey Lance, I'm hoping he continues to play awful.
Seattle's defense is pretty good.
You're trying to replace your tight end right now.
Yeah, that'll be a different person probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. It should be a good game. It should be a good matchup. We'll see. It's both. I don't want to fall down 0-2. That's not a fun place to start the season. So
no, it's not. But I'll eat the crow if I am there. Like I said, I gave you that the honorary 8th place. Here's the thing: if you beat me, I will be in 8th place, and I will probably keep myself in that position for the rest of the year. That's my prediction. You know, because if I go 0-2, man, it's gonna be hard to pull out of that one.
I don't know, man. I started real quick. We can continue on. I started 1-4. One of my fantasy football years, and I made the playoffs.
Oh.
So anything's possible, man.
Anything is possible. What's hard for me is with an 8-team league, there's so many so many stacked teams that it's real hard to find those gems. I feel like, but
that's fair.
I could be wrong. We'll see. Though. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna keep fighting. I'm not gonna quit for sure. But
of course.
Yeah, I'll have to put myself
next year. Next year, by the way, side note, we'll have to bump up to we'll make it a 10-person league next year.
Yeah, I was actually talking to one of my other friends, and he was like, I showed him the podcast. I was coming back into it, and he goes, "Oh, you're back doing that again?" He's like, "I haven't done fantasy football in forever." I said, "Oh, well, if you want to do it next year, let me know." And he goes, "Yeah, I might have somebody else who might want to join too."
Awesome.
So we can get to the 10 probably at least.
Awesome, dude.
Hopefully, if we can get it to 12, that'd be a really cool thing. But we'll see. We'll see. So the next game. Hertz Donuts versus the Naughty Boys. What do you think there? The game of the
I'm looking at their. Yeah, I think this is the game of the week.
Yeah,
this is the game of the week for sure. Deion's got a good squad, man. Projection wise, it looks like Deion is favored right now to win by 5.
Yep.
But let me look at these matchups here for his players. Christian McCaffrey going against the Giants. He's probably going to have a field day.
Yep. Barkley versus the Panthers. That should be good, too, if he's going to keep doing what he's doing.
Conversely, yeah. That's a great point. Both their running backs are both going to have great days. Chubb, see, that's the scary one for Doug, because Kareem gets so many touches as well. So we'll have to see there. Tyreek against Baltimore.
Doug, you should put CEH in. Put CEH in instead, you know, of Chubb. That's what I predict. You should do that, you know, because I know what I'm talking about over here, 0-1. So, yeah, do that. No, I'm so envious looking at their lineup, and everything is in the 20s and 19s, 15s, 14s, 12s, 13s. I'm just like, oh man, you don't have anything like under 10 at all until you get down to the tight ends. What?
Yeah, they got good squads. We'll see how that's the problem with fantasy, though. Sometimes you don't want to start too strong.
Yeah.
I can't tell you, dude, how many times I've started a fantasy season, you know, 5-1, 6-0, 7-2, you know, along those lines. And then a couple players get injured, or it's weird how it seems like even in fantasy, your teams can have drastic swings. Like my buddy Juan, 3 years in a row, which is insane, in a 10-person league, 3 years in a row, he snuck in as the fourth seed and ended up winning just because of his team got hot. He was real aggressive with trades and who was hot on the waiver, and he ended up winning 3 years in a row, which was crazy. We were like giving him a hard time. Like, dude, you made some sort of deal with the devil, didn't you? You know, giving him crap, but I digress.
I'm going to give it to Hurts Donut, by the way. That's who I think is going to pull it off. Just looking at the lineup, again, sorry, Doug. It's really, Doug's going to win the league this year, but I'm going to give it to Hurts Donut. I think he's going to pull it off this weekend.
Man, I don't know. It really depends how Thursday night goes. If Herbert balls, if Herbert has a 25, 30 point game, Doug's going to win.
Yeah.
That's my prediction. But if Herbert doesn't give him a bit of a lead here, yeah, he's probably going to lose. Yeah. It's a good call.
All right. Next one, Team Mess versus Gritty Gritty Bang Bang. I'm going Gritty Gritty.
I agree. I can't pick against Lige right now. Jared, Team Mess, played Fitzgerald last week, who I guess you said had a dead spot in his lineup. So, I mean, that gave Jared a bit of an edge there. I think Elijah is going to win. Sorry, Jared, but I think, yeah, Elijah's going to win pretty handily here.
Yeah, Team Mess, you got some work to do. I feel bad. You're the ones getting bit with the injuries. You got Keenan Allen there, and you had Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. So I expect a lot of waiver wire moves from Team Mess. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he might be able to pull something together afterwards, but I don't know. Gritty Gritty Bang Bang right now currently is looking pretty strong with Jefferson and Diggs specifically.
That wide out situation he's got going there is, yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. All right, the last one. We got Vladdy Daddy and Fitzgerald. Who do you got there?
Oof. Let me look at their lineups right now.
This one is real close.
I looking at how they have their lineups right now, I'm taking Fitzgerald. I think Fitzgerald's gonna pull this out.
Yeah, I was gonna say if Kittle plays, I think Fitzgerald's got it. If Fitzgerald does not play, or Kittle does not play, I think Vladdy Daddy could pull it out. Russell Wilson is on the bench as well, but man, he's got hard choices.
I mean, okay, the odds of Burrow, I'm not a huge fan of Burrow, but he can ball. Like he can have a good game. I think Burrow is going to have a big game against Dallas.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if he has a big game and Mixon has a good game, so like that's his two heavy hitters, and then Taylor's always going to be good. And with Williams, you have his counterpart out, so Williams will probably get most of the targets. So actually, yeah, I'll give it to Fitzgerald this week. I think Fitzgerald's got a better chance, so for sure, for sure. Well, yeah. Awesome. I think that that was a pretty successful first episode, and I hope everybody has a great rest of your week and enjoys themselves. Enjoy your waiver wire. Get the guys you need. Jake, you got anything you want to say?
No, absolutely, man. It was fun. Thanks for having me on. And just I'm throwing this invite out here. If anyone else ever wants to hop on the pod, I'm sure Mike would be more than okay with it if we want to get another voice in here. I don't know. Maybe I need to redact that. But
no. Anybody's welcome for sure. It may, the more the merrier, really. I think we can definitely make something happen. We'll put a little note out in the ether about it. So.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, it was fun though. Fun to chat with you, catch up, and talk some football.
All right. See you later.
Yep. Peace.